Unless he was shopping for a woman like you shop for some clothes, you'll end up with a suit that don't fit. You don't need to kiss another man or another woman to find out if she's the one. I ask you not to be condemned over anything that I say. I'm talking about God's best. I'm giving it to you so that we can know the truth. Finding the right mate is where it starts at. Because some people end up in divorce court because they never, ever had the elements that were needed to get married in the first place. All right? Now just stay with me. I'm talking about how many frogs do you have to kiss to find a prince? Going back to the best of God. Say best of God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 24. Look at verse 61. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camel and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Rebekah is the woman that he's bringing for Isaac. And Isaac came. Now, the father was the one who decided it was time for Isaac. And Isaac came from the way into the well Lahara, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. She jumped off. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that thou walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Now you know what happened. He loved her, married her, and so forth. Okay. Now, this reminds me of how I found my wife. Now, hold on. The Bible says any man that finds a wife finds a good thing and receives what? Favor of the Lord. But the word finds, the Hebrew word, had to do with one that appears. And I remember when I was in working for a computer company, and I was actually going with this friend of mine, and we were going to his office, his fellow manager, and I used to fly with him. We used to fly together all the time. And just out of the corner of my eye, I saw this woman. And I went in his office, and I said, "Who is that?" You know, pointing to her desk. Now, why am I telling you this? Because this thing is not put together from the outside in. Finding a mate God's way is put together from the inside out. Now, I'd like you to see this because I really didn't see all her body. She was sitting behind her desk doing some paperwork. And I didn't have a chance to have a stand up, look, see what we got. No, I want you to see what I'm talking about. Because it's not about the physical first. It's something deeper that God ignites. Now understand, you got to be ready for them. So you got to get your esteem together. You got to know who you are. You got to have this thing, bitterness from all your relationships and relatives. That's got to be gone. I'm saying when God knows you're ready and you desire a good thing. So I said, and we began, he introduced me to her, and then I didn't say anything because, you know, I am cool. And I went back, and I remember I said, boy, I got a phone number, And I said, man, I just can't. I mean, I could not get this woman off my mind. I had never been like that. And so, because, you know, I knew a lot of people. And listen, so here we are, see, because if we kissing, it leads to this here, that there, mm-hmm, and You see what I'm saying? And my point to you is how many frogs do you have to get? None. That's the answer. Not a one. I mean, you can be in the place where you say the lips that these lips going to kiss are, it's going to be my husband. It's going to be my wife. You see, I'm telling you, see, we have nutted the kingdom way. And so what happened, this is kingdom working through me, see. And so here I am. And now we gone out to dinner a few times, so forth and so on. And I knew this was the one. I just knew it. And what happened? We were somewhere, and I just felt that, man, I'd like to kiss her. But then I told her, I said, baby, I said, Veronica, wait a minute. I got down on my knees, said, Lord, Lord, don't let me mess up. I pray, because I didn't want to mess up. I wanted to please God more than I wanted that woman. Say amen. And I got down there and prayed, and I felt like something said, all right, or something like that. And I got up and so forth, and we got married. Yep. And I knew that was the one. That was it. We didn't have to have sex to find out. Nope. That's what happened with me. You don't have to kiss all these frogs. Say amen to that. Now, if you want to find somebody who kissed a lot of frogs, look at Solomon. He had a different woman. If you could take a different woman every day for over 3 years, that's what he had. And he said it's all vanity. Why? Because he was shopping for a woman like you shop for some clothes. You don't do that. You'll end up with a suit that don't fit. You don't need to kiss another man or another woman to find out if she's the one. Oh, yeah. See, y'all don't like it now. Okay. Let's go to another one. Now, what am I doing? Building your faith for kingdom families, see? All right, let's go to another one. Let's go to Genesis chapter 29. And in Genesis chapter 29, Jacob finds this woman, Rachel. All right. Now, he didn't know this woman before this, but God led him to this woman. Say amen to this. Now, the reason why I'm giving you all of this is because God has the best for you. And he doesn't want you out there fumbling with a lot of people. And end up in some situation. Are you following what I'm saying? There's an order that he has that you can run your life in. Look what he said in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 18. And Jacob loved who? Rachel. And said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now, who is he talking to? Laban. Now, Laban's got two daughters. Okay? And he tricked Jacob after Jacob had worked 7 years and gave him the one with the bad feet. No, I was kidding. No, he tricked him. Now, look, wait a minute. Hear what I'm saying. Watch this. What happened? He was willing to pay is willing to go through some time to get this person. And I think sometimes folk ain't willing to go through no time. See, just not moved emotionally. But you got to make sure you're ready. If the man is going to marry her, make sure you're steady. Make sure your job is intact. Make sure a little money in the bank. Come on, make sure so forth. You got something going now. This is new now. But also, Laban required something. And if you remember, David came to the front line in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He says, what am I going to get if I slay this giant? And he said, well, you're going to get taxes, no taxes. You're going to get so forth. And you'll get the king's daughter, the hand of the daughter and the king, whatever he tells you. Now, watch that. Because there's another place that one of the people, Caleb or whoever it was, had a daughter. And he said, whoever can do this, you get the hand of my daughter. See? In other words, he was qualifying who was representing the kind of qualities that he would have marry his daughter. I mean, they pull up outside for your kid, and they got all this loud boo, 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 and so forth. You tell her, sit down, you ain't going nowhere. See, ain't no respect, no respect for the parents, nothing like that. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying we have something to say about that, because if I've got a daughter, I just don't want to turn them over to anybody. Say amen to that. I care about my family. You should care about that family. No, no. Do you qualify? Come in here. Sit down. Let me talk to you. See if you splitting verbs. Now, I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. I'm saying I want quality, and so do you, for our children. And I think we need to demand this so the young men can come on and move back into place where they need to move into, and don't think they can come in there and rip our houses off of some of the products that we have brought up over time and seasoned and got ready for a good man. Now, I hate to say it like that, but that's the truth. Because we need to take time and qualify this thing. Are you with me? So I'm saying that in each case, remember, God puts us together from the inside. And I think too many times people have been put together from the outside. And as a result of that, we come together, but it wasn't ready yet. It wasn't, you follow what I'm saying? And I remember in my case, I mean, I fought that thing. I said, if this is really God, I'm getting a promotion to Minneapolis, I'm out of here. I said, if God's going to put this together, it's going to have to be a miracle. Because I was fighting it, boy. I didn't want to get in anything that was going to take me away from my God. And it just so happened, the woman that he gave me, she prayed that God would give her a man that studies the word more than she does. Now, God wants you to have people. He wants people to have beauty and so forth like that. And if that be the case, remember, I put it down here that the beauty is what God has given to draw people's attention to him. Isn't that wonderful? Man, that's powerful stuff. Now, some people don't want to hear this. See, because they just want to go back and do what they want to do. Now, I don't have anything against you doing that. But let me tell you something. This thing was made. Well, let's read this. Let's read this. Verse 15. Drink water out of thine own cistern, and running waters of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. A cistern is a container or reservoir or a vessel that has a top on it, a lid, and it usually holds water. So he's saying here, drink from your own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Your cistern, meaning men, the woman represents the cistern. Drink from the cistern of your wife. Partake of that vessel and not go out to another one. And this cistern has a top. And the top on it comes off, it's covered. And it symbolizes what the seal is on a woman's sexual organ. And I'm not going to go deep now, just say hang on. The cistern is covered, a well is not. And it's representing of a virgin. And it has something called a hymen. Now, I'm speaking about a body part. Say amen. Amen. In ancient mythology, this famous deity, the son of Bacchus and Venus, supposed to preside over marriages. It was called, the mythology, he was called Hymen. Oh, Hymen, pardon me. Now, this Hymen is a seal until its owner comes to uncover it. And so once he does, he has his own personal well. So when a virgin opens herself and allows her husband to take the seal off, then the water refreshes and replenishes him. But when a woman indiscriminately lets men partake of her waters, Lord, have mercy. And these waters will eventually become impure and somewhat eventually diseased. And these soon the waters even leave the well, and the well dries up. So the waters soon are gone from her. Why? Because only her husband was supposed to partake and replenish her well. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Now I'm saying this because all of this keeps purity in sexual pleasure. Every goldsmith knows that the purer the metal, the stronger it is, and the more pleasant it is to behold. So marriage is supposed to be pure, and it keeps us pure. This behavior continues to allow marriages and pleasures of intimacy to endure. See? As a matter of fact, they get better with old age. Now, let's just keep going. Now, think about it. Sex sexual promiscuity. Now, remember, an animal in the jungle has sex with another animal. And notice, they don't stay there. They just go to some other animal. But this is where humans differ. Say amen to that. And I think that's where they got the expression, you know, hey, dog. That kind of thing. Now, I'm just telling you what I think. Now, I don't know. Now, one more thing. That sexual promiscuity is also interesting because this whole idea of exposure. But exposure without marriage is dangerous. The reason why it's violating spiritual laws. Now watch this. Prostitutes have a lot of problems with depression and despair and sometimes suicide. And the reason why is because you were never designed to expose yourself to someone who you didn't have covenant with. And when it happens, sometimes it opens the door to tormenting Hittite spirits. And so many of them have to be treated for drug addiction. Because the drug addiction comes in because they're trying to fight the depression. So you have to be licensed to engage in intimacy, to be covered so that no other spirits can come in. So marriage is a covenant of death. It's a death sentence to your will. And by marrying the other person, you are saying this, I am giving my natural life and my soul to you. And that as we engage in this thing called life and marriage, it is something that I open up myself to give to you all that I am. And that's a picture of the marriage that God has in the Word of God.
Well, I trust that you are blessed by this exciting teaching. Now, it's from Kingdom Families. It's entitled, How Many Frogs Do You Have to Kiss to Find a Prince? Now, here's some important points I'd like you to remember. One, finding a mate God's way is from the inside out, not the outside in. And it says, whoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. The word find there means to appear. It means she just appeared. It's when Rebecca appeared to Isaac, or when my wife Veronica just appeared to me. She was sitting there in behind a desk, and I was coming down the hall, just appeared. And something happens. So notice, the connection is made from the inside out. Because it's a lot of people around. Oh, I knew a lot of people. But it's some connection, and God has it that way, because what God puts together, let no man put asunder. Praise the Lord. Also, the second point, the exposure of sexual promiscuity is dangerous because it violates spiritual laws. And it sets up things sometimes like soul ties and things that people, it's hard to forget the people or get rid of the people or break something off and so forth like that. You see, it's just not something just physical, but it violated a spiritual law. So our announcer is going to give you some important information on how you can order this powerful teaching, and I'll be right back.
Finding the right mate is where it starts. Talking about how many frogs do you have to kiss to find a prince. The Bible says any man that finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor of the Lord. But this word find doesn't mean go out kissing everybody. The word find is a Hebrew word. Having to do with one that appears. Now let's go back. I'm going back to the garden now. I'm going back to the best of God. You see, I'm telling you, see, we have none of the kingdom way. You don't have to kiss all these frogs. If you want to find somebody who can
change us when the kingdom comes. And the kingdom has come inside of you.
Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4, please. But let's start looking at the first verse of chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. The word fear there is kind of an interesting word. It means believe. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Underline the word rest. Next verse. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So when I preach to you this morning, I'm going to give you something, but it's going to be in seed form. So you have to receive it as a seed. Jesus teaches on this in Luke chapter 17. But you have to receive it as a seed. And when you do and swallow it and put it in the soil of your heart, it begins to grow. Now, what does it begin to grow and produce? It produces, first of all, an image of your redemption. It produces the way God sees you. Come on now. God does not see you inferior to cancer. He sees you seated together with Jesus in heavenly places and everything under your foot. He doesn't see you in lack. He doesn't see you broke. He doesn't see you sad. He doesn't see you. I'm talking about the way God sees you. And the way you can get the way God sees you is to get the seed of the Word of God. And what does the seed do? It roots up everything that's in your soil in the sight of you. And that root, which happens to be sadness, which came from an experience that you had before you got born again. And that root is inside of you, keeping you sad sometimes. Now the Word of God is going to root that thing out, and the joy of the Lord is going to come on you. And everywhere you go, you'll have a smile on your face and a song in your heart. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So believing will bring you to a rest. How many of you know faith is a rest? Glory to God. When you're in faith, you're at rest. When you're not in faith, you're tense. You're subject to coming loose at any moment. Come on now. You can't sleep at night, so forth, because you're not at rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, even though or although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works? Every work that he wants you to do. Everything he wants you to do. Everything you would need in this earth, according to life and godliness, has already been done for you. I said it's already been complete. Let's take a quick trip over to Psalm chapter 22 and verse 1. Look what he says here. Now this is that rest. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where did you hear that said? On the cross. Who said it? Jesus said it. He said that on the cross hundreds of years after this was written. So God saw what he was going to say and said it before he said it. God saw what you're going to need and prepared it before you got there. Now let's go back to Hebrews. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest on the seventh day from all his what? Works. Now, let's do something. Let's take a little trip to the seventh day. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. This is God. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his what? Work, which he had what? Made. And he rested when? On the seventh day, come on, from all his work, which he had made. Now, God calls it work. Work. Now, understand all he said. Let there be light in 24 hours, 16 billion miles of light, 16 billion miles of universe. Let the trees come forth. I'm talking about God said this, but he calls it what?
Work.
Calls it work. Now, wait a minute. You've been made in his image to function just like him. When you gonna start working? Not toiling, working. Watch Peter now. Watch him. Turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, Jesus did. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of their net, were gone out from them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught for a great increase. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have what?
Soil.
We have what?
Soil.
We have what?
Soil.
All night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, come on, at thy word, we will let down the net. Watch this. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And what happened to the net? The net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ships, that they'd come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so they began to sink. Watch this. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken without hard work. Without toil, without hard labor. You're working. Yes, you're going to work, but you're going to work on another level. The world works in toil. The world hopes that something will happen. They do trial and error. They hope that this answer is right. They hope that this will work out okay. They work and work. And when the money is not there, they get another job and work. And then they beg for a promotion and the promotion is not going to give them but 3%, and they want that. And so my point to you is, understand that's there. But all of that is over here in Babylon. All of that is over here in a failing system that you and I were born in at first, but now we've been born again. No more lack in your house. If you have a need, all you got to do is sow a seed. No. He didn't want you to work for a living. Now you're trying to earn something. You're trying to earn what? Earn what God has already done. You don't earn it. It's all by grace. Now, why do you work? Because without it, you cannot fulfill your potential in the kingdom. Without it. Inside of you is potential. What's potential? Hidden abilities. Where are they? Inside of you. If I take an acorn, there's a tree in that acorn. Come on. That's not only a tree, there's hundreds of acorns in that acorn. Not only hundreds of acorns, but those acorns can produce hundreds of trees. There's a forest in this acorn. There's a forest in you. Don't think it's going to get in you. It's already in you. You came loaded. How do you get it out? Work. Work. Look it up in the Greek. Ergo, where we get our word energy. Work it out. I'm going to work. What does a job give you? Paycheck. What does the work give you? Potential. So, why work? Because it's a way you can give something of value to the world. Why work? It's my way of giving something of value to the world. Notice I did not say yet I'm working to earn a living. That's Babylon. They have to do that who don't know God. They better earn it. They don't earn it, they won't have anything. I got to look out for me, man. I got to look out for number one. That's that system.
this system, God looks out for you. Adam had not even created the thought of his own provision. That thought had never occurred. Only time it occurred is when the fall. Why do I work? Because it's the way talents and gifts are developed and revealed and increased. Well, I listened to a sermon that I preached when I first started preaching way back when. I listened about 2 minutes and I had to turn that thing off. Lord have mercy, turn that off. If I played that for you, you'd say, is that Pastor Bill? If you know, no, that can't be Pastor. Yes, it was. Because through my working, I worked it out. Say, work it out. Why work? Because it keeps us mentally healthy. That's why you work. I'm not earning a living now, because my living's already been earned by Jesus. Jesus, he did it all for me, and I just got believed that he did it and stacked it all away so that I can be concerned about number one. What's number one? My assignment from God in terms of getting his kingdom established throughout this earth. That's number one. How am I doing? Why work? It's the means by which we manifest dreams and ideas and goals. It's how they come to reality. Somebody's got to work. George Washington Carver. I got the write-up at home. I read it yesterday. I was teaching in the business class, business school. He said this, I never have to grope for methods, quote unquote, meaning he never has to struggle. He said, I go in my laboratory and I lock the door. And once I lock the door, God pulls back a curtain. He tells me how to take the peanut apart and put it back together. And I've got 300 products from face cream to children's crayons. From a peanut. Never once trial and error. Come on. Believe me, when Peter's operating on that word, no longer profit and loss. Only profit. Whole way of thinking now. You got to think differently. And that's what you have to do in the kingdom. Everything changes when the kingdom comes. Why work? It makes us a blessing to other people. Everything changes when the kingdom comes. And the kingdom has come inside of you right now. Isn't that wonderful? No, you feed them. And what people don't realize is that God leads you past what's possible on purpose. This is not just coincidence that he gives you something beyond your bank account. He wants to show you who he is. Because a lot of times we're trying to stay comfortable. You don't change when everything's comfortable. Sometimes there's a divine shaking of the nest. Amen. So, next, why work? It makes you a blessing to other people. Why work? It allows us to become co-creators with God. See, every human is created to accomplish something. That's why we are all gifted.
We had the recent passing of our dear friend, Dr. Miles Monroe. Here's what he said. Don't you dare die with my stuff. Because you're meant to serve me, and my gift is meant to serve you. What does the enemy want? To cap our well. To make us think that we're insignificant and have nothing to offer. But watch this. You can't come into the earth without a gift. Those guys incarcerated, they got gifts. Come on, the woman out there, or the prostitute out there on the sidewalk, she got a gift. But we got an enemy that's a thief. He's a deceiver, trying to make you think you've got nothing. I just read yesterday in the class an account of a woman in Costa Rica. And what happened is the pastor was a little bit fed up with the way that the country was going and all the lack and the poverty, so forth and so on. So he decided to do something about it. So he preached a message talking about the goodness of God and God blesses all of us and so forth. And then he's going to demonstrate. So he had a fist full of money. Now, it wasn't $100 bills. It was small amount, small denominations. And he started giving it to different people. He said, all right, here's $17. Make something out of it. Here's $13. Make something out of it. So he walked to this lady and had about, I don't know, between $14, $15. And he said, now, make something. Use your gift and make something out of this. She said, I don't want it. He said, why? She said, I don't have anything that I can do. He said, what do you mean you don't have anything? She said, well, I can't. I got three kids. My husband left me. And I'm trying to take care of these. I don't have anything I can do. He said, everybody had something. Take it. Nope, I'm not going to take it. And he was so forceful, she kept stepping back. And pretty soon she took it. She got it home, and something started talking to her, speaking to her. And she called the pastor, communicated with him, and she said, the only thing I can do is make pancakes for my kids. He said, well, that's a start. He said, make pancakes. He said, the group of people that come down to the marketplace every morning, they don't, most of them need something to eat. So make pancakes and try to sell it to them. She made pancakes, sold it to them, sold out the first day. She came back to the pastor, said, well, I sold out. He said, all right, continue to do that. But as she continued, the pancakes got better. Come on now, I'm talking about flipping your gift. I'm saying as she worked that gift, those pancakes got better. Pretty soon, she opened up a big catering business. So pretty soon, the other people from the area in Costa Rica came and began to want to start their own businesses because that business sense began to catch fire. But not only that, now that whole area, which was in famine, began to prosper. And now the president of the country called her and said, can you do the same thing for the nation? I'm telling you, just making pancakes. What do you have in your house? I'm saying if you can get some seed to God. Everything changes when the kingdom comes. And this is new. This is a new way of thinking because the tendency is when a pressure comes on for us to revert back to that Babylonian thinking. But God wants you to go to another side. So look what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve how many masters? Two masters. For either he'll hate one and love the other, else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, with us, in serving God, he knows that there's only two systems. Watch this. And you can't beat this one. Nobody can beat the Babylonian system but Jesus. Now, what he does is pulls you out of it. and put you in a system of sowing and reaping. Got it? He put you in that system. Now, that's where you are right now, whether you know it or not. And the problem is that we've got the children of God who've been born again. And once you get born again, realize that everything changes now because you're put in a whole new kingdom. You're in the kingdom of God. You're a citizen of God. It's a commonwealth of God. He takes care of you, so forth and so on. So everything changes. But what we got to do now is learn to trust the one who put us over there. And that's where it comes to, you know, I love the Lord. Okay, yeah, all right, we're going to see. That's what the rich young ruler said. Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. And then he said, okay, go give what you have to the poor and come on, follow me. Oh, I can't do that. I'm out. So in this, God knows that if he doesn't provide for you, then you're forced to go back to this system. So he's got to provide for you. The problem is, have you learned how to receive his provision? See, think about it. It's all image. Whatever you are inside creates the outside. So if I can destroy that image inside, you'll have a whole new way of acting outside. That's all it is. It's really simple. The devil knows it. He's just trying to keep you picking in front, threatening you with your credit report. Well, I remember this guy, high priest himself, and he remembered the church. And he said, me and my wife went down to get us a car. And you talking about, you know, God can override anything. I said, yeah. And he said, we went down there, we sat down, we picked out a car. It was right on the showroom floor. I said, yeah, okay. He said, you know we did? We sat down there, the guy looked up a credit. He said, I'm sorry. We wanted to finance you, but we can't help you. He said, okay, what's wrong? He said, well, your credit is too bad. He said he sat back in the chair and God said, go march around the car 7 times. So he said he got his wife, got up, went and marched around it in the showroom floor now. He marched around the car. Come on, see, some of y'all ain't willing to do what needs to be done because you're too pretty. You see, and he marched around there and then, get this, sat back down. God said, tell him to look it up again. He said, could you look up again? He said, well, we just looked it up. He said, no, just could you do that for me? Just look it up again. He looked it up again. He said, wait a minute, I must have done. What was your social security number again? God had erased all the bad credit on his report, and that's the gospel truth. Now give God a praise. We're getting out of here, man. I ain't gonna stop here. Woo! This is your year. Decree a thing, and it shall be established. Woo-ray! Now, you may not be where I am first day, but you're on your way. On your way. Now, that's all God wants. He just wants you to go from faith, come on, to faith. Don't be condemned about anything. He said, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I'm just telling you, when the kingdom comes,